Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Trump continues to flex his pardoning power. Yesterday, he commuted the life sentence of Alice Marie Johnson, who spent more than two decades in federal prison in Alabama on nonviolent drug charges. Her case was championed by Kim Kardashian West, who met with the president last week. It's worth noting there are more than 2,000 federal prisoners currently serving life sentences for nonviolent drug crimes. We'll see if the president pardons them. Meanwhile, let's look back at the history of the pardon with Brian Ballow and Joanne Freeman, historians and co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Now, the pardon is in the Constitution, right? This goes back to the very beginning of the country.
It does indeed. It's in Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution. And it does give the president a rather undefined ability to pardon people. Now, the theory at the time was, you know, if we think nowadays it sounds a little bit monarchical or king-like, the fact is, yes, it does, because the founders were modeling themselves after the British monarchy. And the idea in Britain was that their legal system was rather punitive. And so rather than inflict the death penalty on someone, the king had the power to grant a royal pardon. So it was seen as a way to deal with an inflexible or extreme situation of justice. And so
and it let when him the come across as a good guy too, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. I hadn't even thought about that, but he gets to be the guy who grants the pardon. So he gets all the good PR. I don't think they were thinking about PR at the Federal Convention, though. Hamilton, actually, in The Federalist, talks a little bit about the logic, and he's kind of mirroring what happened in England. You know, he says it's possible that you would need some kind of a quick action to deal with something that's too punitive or perhaps in a time of rebellion. A quick pardon will calm everybody down. So it makes sense to give the president that power.
Well, and you say quick pardon. Brian, tell us a little bit about the process, the formal process of doing this.
Well, certainly for the, you know, the modern presidency, it's been pretty bureaucratic. I mean, you need to submit a form. I don't know whether in triplicate or not, but you need to submit this form to the Department of Justice. And there's an office that handles this and they vet it. And they often talk to the prosecutors. They talk to the people involved in the case. And they have guidelines. And those guidelines suggest that, well, it's really best if the crime that was that you were convicted for happened at least 5 years ago. It's a bureaucratic administrative process. However, that does go to the president, and it is entirely up to the president to decide whether he wants to follow the advice of his Justice Department.
It is not just individuals who have been pardoned in this country's history. There have been mass pardons, Joanne, like when President Lincoln pardoned the rebels in 1863.
Indeed, right? So the Civil War raises an extreme problem, which is you have half the country which has committed war against the other half of the country, and what do you do with people who've rebelled against the government? So the question of a mass pardon comes up. Lincoln wants to give a mass pardon with kind of not very punitive demands. The radical Republicans in Congress want punitive demands, and this is debated for a while as to whether this can or can't be done. Obviously, the war continues on. But it's interesting to note that after the war, when they really had to deal with the question of what do you do with Confederates, Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederacy, refused to apply for amnesty or ask for any kind of a pardon because he refused to say that he had done anything wrong. And it wasn't really until President Carter's administration that he was granted a pardon.
Now, that wasn't the only pardon that President Carter granted. He also pardoned Vietnam draft evaders.
Yeah. You know, for all the contrasts we like to offer with Donald Trump and how he's using the pardon for political reasons, Carter ran on a platform of saying that he would pardon draft dodgers from Vietnam, that we needed to put this war behind us. And there were roughly 100,000 Americans who fled to Canada to avoid the draft. And that's a lot of people potentially to pardon.
When we look at what President Trump has been doing, some people are saying, well, this is a lot of pardons. In fact, there's a lot more publicity about these pardons that he's making, but he's really not at the high end of presidential pardons for this point in his presidency. Have some presidents exercised more of this power than others?
Absolutely. It is stunning how many presidents over a really long period of time, going back to George Washington, issued pardons. So we are so used to saying President Trump in an unprecedented action.
Right.
I mean, to be honest, so far, there's nothing particularly unprecedented about what Trump has done. All presidents have used pardons, and a lot of them have been politically motivated, to put it bluntly. Now, the question of him pardoning himself, that is unprecedented.
Well, and we'll get to that. But let's talk about one of the most controversial pardons in recent memory, which was Bill Clinton's pardon of Mark Rich, the fugitive financier. That pardon was made like almost a third of Clinton's pardons on his very last day in office.
That's exactly right. And Rich was certainly considered to be a tax evader. He had fled the country, and there were many charges that this was exactly the kind of pardon you don't want, a quid pro quo for a campaign contribution. And you really emphasized the key point, Jeremy. This happened at the very end of the Clinton administration. And I promise that I'm not vying to become part of Donald Trump's cabinet, but this is another place where we might want to give Trump actually some credit for the way he's using the pardon. Most presidents do wait to the end of their administrations, at least most recent presidents, to pardon large numbers of people, really. Trump is doing this not only at the rough beginning of his presidency, he's doing it even before the first midterm election. So if we do believe in transparency and holding the president accountable, he's saying, if you don't like this, go vote for a Democrat, but I think you are going to like this. He's willing to pay the political price of these pardons.
Has anyone ever refused a pardon?
Occasionally that has happened. I suppose most famously, the first time it happened, it puzzled people because they asked that very question. There was a fellow named George Wilson who robbed the National Mail, threatened the mail carrier, threatened his life. He and his partner were sentenced to death. Andrew Jackson, president at the time, issued a pardon. And Wilson, who was up for a variety of other related crimes, refused the pardon. I think probably because he wondered whether it would have some impact on whether he was considered guilty for these other crimes. But that raised the obvious question. Can you do that? If a president grants you a pardon, can you just say no? And there was a debate. And finally, the assumption was, well, in a sense, it's a gift. And if you don't accept that gift, then, yeah, you don't get it. So that indeed you can refuse a pardon.
Well, and in fact, I found out as I was looking into this that you can also take back a pardon as long as it hasn't been processed yet. The president can say, I'm pardoning this person. And then if they
change my mind.
Yeah, if Tom in accounting hasn't actually put it through, they can pull it back. So President Trump, as you said, Brian, has claimed that he has the power to pardon himself if need be. People have pointed out if he did that, he might well be impeached right away, although with the Republican Congress, who knows? But could a president pardon himself?
I think the answer is we don't know. I would say the consensus of legal thought is that he can't. For a couple of reasons. One, the language says grant a pardon. And in the normal use of the language, we don't grant things to ourselves.
Although
one wonders about Donald Trump, he grants things to himself all the time. But that aside, there is also a long-standing concept in the law that you cannot be a judge in your own trial. And that's a tradition within the judiciary itself that a lot of people argue would preclude Trump from granting a pardon to himself. That said, if you are a literalist and you read the Constitution literally and you interpret grant in your favor, you can pardon yourself, argue some scholars.
I just wonder after this conversation where we got the term pardon me. I guess it wasn't literal. Brian Ballow and Joanne Freeman, historians and co-hosts of the weekly podcast Backstory. Thanks so much.
Thanks for
having
us.
Great to be here.